We're in Russia's far east, where the taiga forests meet the Sea of Japan. It's a unique habitat where some of the planet's rarest animals still roam freely. So join us and let's explore the wilds of Primorye together. We kick off our journey in the land of the leopard. This is the only place on Earth where you can find the magnificent but shy Amur leopard. Piotr, Amur leopards, they are notoriously elusive. They're almost like ghosts. How do you track them?
Some time ago, when we needed to figure out exactly how many Amur leopards were left, it was thought there were only about 30. We had to count every single one. To do that, we used camera traps for monitoring. Each big cat has its own unique coat pattern. You can distinguish them by their spots and stripes, just as reliably as you can identify humans by their fingerprints. So that's what we did. We photographed every animal, made a file for each specimen with photos of both flanks, and identified them all. That gave us the total number. After that, once we knew which cat lived in which area, we followed their trails once again, collected scat samples, and ran genetic analysis, hormone analysis, diet analysis, tested for disease, for worms and other parasites. So today, even without observing them directly, we know practically everything about the lives of our cats.
Wow. Have you ever seen one in the flesh, as it were?
When I first came to the Russian Far East, I worked at the Big Cat Rehabilitation Center, looking after orphaned tiger cubs, leopard cubs, and injured animals. So yes, I did have direct contact with them, out in the wild too, especially when working with photographers. We often get the chance to see these animals. Sometimes you can startle them by accident. If you make a careless movement, the leopards instantly realize they've been spotted. Then there are chance encounters. The most common kind is when you're driving through the forest in a car or an ATV, and suddenly a leopard darts across the road. It stops, glances back to check whether you'll follow, and then disappears. That's how you usually meet them. But in other situations, say you're walking along a road and a leopard hears you from 200 meters away, it will lie down in the bushes just 3 meters from you, and you'll never know it's there. At least a regular person wouldn't. But if you notice tracks leading into the brush and realize that the cat is lying in wait...
Go the other direction.
No, you keep walking calmly and quietly, and you must never turn your head and try to spot it in the bushes. But if you do lock eyes with it, especially if it's a tiger, and it knows it's been discovered, that's when things can turn dangerous, because the animal can go on the offensive. And if an attack is incoming, if the animal is about to leap at you, then trying to run is almost always pointless. You should try climbing a tree to get away from a tiger, though tigers can climb very well too. But since they're lazy by nature, they only do that in extreme cases. The best approach is to remain calm, make plenty of noise to announce yourself, and always carry some means of protection.
So similar to a brown bear, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
In the 2000s, there were around 30 Amur leopards left, a terribly low number. And last year, I believe the count was around 120. Does that mean that we've only relatively recently learned how to conserve these wonderful creatures?
In 2012, a decision was made to establish this national park with a goal to protect the world's rarest big cat at that time, the Amur leopard. The top priority was to stop poaching. As I said before, throughout the 20th century, both leopards and tigers were hunted, and their numbers dropped to a critical level. In the 1990s and early 2000s, unofficial figures suggested that around 50 tigers and several leopards were being shot each year. Now that's finally been brought to an end. The second aspect of our protection work involves controlling the poaching of such species as wild boar and deer, which are the primary prey for the wild cats. And there's another important factor at play here. Until recently, all these hills we're looking at right now used to catch fire every year for many decades, until our national park rangers started creating special mineralized strips along the park's boundaries to set up a barrier that wildfires couldn't cross. It is crucially important to help our forests to recover after all the fires they've been through. To do that, we have a number of nurseries where we grow seedlings of the relic pines, fir trees, yew trees, and castor oil trees that used to grow here. Every year, crowds of volunteers from all over Russia come here to help us plant new forests under the supervision of our experienced foresters.
It seems like you're creating the best conditions to give them the best chance to survive in the future. Pyotr, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Every footprint of an Amur leopard tells a story, and every rare glimpse of this endangered animal is really a true miracle. Yuri, I saw in the news that one of your camera traps caught an Amur leopard. What significance did this event have for you?
I've been passionate about wildlife photography for many years. I'm used to shooting what I can see with my own eyes, like birds and various animals I can photograph from a hiding place. But photographing a super rare cat in the wild requires a different approach. You can't just wait for it to come by, so instead you set camera traps to take pictures for you. Camera traps allow us to obtain a rare insight into the lives of wild cats without any stakeouts. All you do is set them up and then wait at home for some time.
How do you know where to set them up? You must have developed a sort of sixth sense by now and know where these animals are going to appear.
Basically, I walk through the forest, just like we did together today. We don't really notice what's under our feet. Leaves, branches, fallen logs. But then you come across a marking tree. Would you ever have realized that this is a place regularly visited by a tiger? You have to be able to pick up on those signs. Somewhere, a bear has clawed a tree. When you pass by, you can see how tall the bear was, what exactly it was doing there. You slide your eyes along a tree trunk and suddenly notice some hairs. You study them. You understand whether they belong to a bear, a tiger, or a leopard. Every animal leaves its own signature in the environment, even on the ground. You just need to know how to recognize it. Here, we've chosen a pretty good spot, overlooking the sea, right in the middle of a grove. The camera trap is inside a case that protects it from the elements, from rain, from snow, from pretty much anything, and also from wild animals, because of course there's a problem with wildlife too. Just the other day we were checking the traps and found one piece of equipment completely destroyed.
Really?
This was a camera trap set up for observation. Let me show it to you, and you try to guess what happened to it. Here you can see a hole. So, what do you think? Who could have wrecked this equipment?
I don't know, a bear's claw?
You might think it was a bear or maybe a tiger, but no, it turned out to be just an ordinary woodpecker. It was pecking around the trees, searching for hollow spots, and eventually reached the motion sensor. With a perfectly neat little hole, it disabled the entire device.
Bullseye.
A real sniper woodpecker. We joked that we should put up signs around the forest. Sniper woodpecker, wanted for damaging equipment.
Fine.
A fine for the culprit. But of course, we didn't hold it against him. It's his territory, not ours.
Yeah. Did the job.
My camera trap is ready and set up. Now I suggest we launch it together. To do this, I need to focus on the spot where we want the animal to appear. And ideally, I need a tiger in the frame.
Right.
I'll play the tiger then. Budigat irabtida.
So, here's the result. This is what it should look like, only with a tiger.
What a shot.
Yes, just like this, only with a tiger. Now we'll leave it here for 6 months and hope no one walks off with it.
Now, you can't talk about sea life here without mentioning seafood. We head to Vasily Gribyennikov, who's made a living by cultivating the bounties of the sea. Vasily, your scallops are known not only in the Far East, but all across Russia. What makes them so special in your opinion?
Well, actually, this water.
So it's the water, that's the secret?
As you know, water makes it taste, but we help it to survive and deliver to our clients. You know, here in Vitesse Bay, you know, of Japanese Sea, I would say we have the best conditions for growing scallops. Here, in the south of Primorsky region, we have a unique place where moderate waters, you know, cold and rich in oxygen,
right,
meet subtropical waters, which are rich in nutrition.
Right.
And also our babies, our scallop, they have the best conditions. You know, they have a lot of food, but they have a moderate temperature, you know, not too hot, so they can live long and grow big.
So it's a combination of oxygen, nutrients, and temperature that give them this awesome flavor.
Yes, and our care.
Of course, of course. Well, can we check how your scallops are doing now?
Yeah.
It's going and going.
Yeah, it's...
How many are there?
It's 15.
15?
15.
Wow.
15 sections of one net, right?
It's like a magician's trick.
Yeah.
So how do you tell how old a scallop is?
Actually, you can have a look on them.
Mm-hmm.
You see, last autumn, they were just little ones like...
oh, I see, yeah.
Like nail, right?
Yeah.
Then this size they were this spring.
Uh-huh.
And now they grew... almost 1.5 centimeter.
Right. It's like a tree.
Exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
It lives on a tree.
Yes, we have these growth rings, and we can see the age of scallop.
Uh-huh. You know? Vasily, I thought like many mollusks, scallops were fairly sedentary. They basically lay on the seabed and catch whatever floats past them. But they're actually fairly mobile, aren't they? How do they move and why?
Actually, if you put them in a comfortable condition, they will just do exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
They would stay on the bottom and just get what they can get. But if they feel uncomfortable, they can run away. You know, if they feel predator approaching, you know, like a starfish approaching scallop, scallop can run away. Actually, you see, they have a special holes, you know, something that it's for cutting them.
Yeah.
But actually, it's just, you know, like, how to say, it's like jets, you know.
Like a water jet.
Water jet. You know, they clamp their shells.
Yeah.
And water jets out from these holes. So a scallop can run
That's
away.
Incredible. They've got jet propulsion systems, basically.
Exactly.
Like jet skis.
Like rockets.
Well, if that wasn't impressive enough, there's also a lot more to them. This one's open, actually, than meets the eye. Oh, it's closed now. Is it true that they have hundreds of tiny little eyes that they can see with, and they can also sense sounds and vibrations?
Actually, you see, they opened a bit,
and you see
these black dots?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's eyes.
So it's now looking at us, this
scallop? Yeah, you look just in the scallop's eyes. And scallop has a few hundreds of eyes in each mantle. So, biologists which do research on scallops, they say that they have pretty good optics, but they see the picture, but they cannot figure out what's happening.
It's not much use then, is it?
Yeah, so it's like, you know, just like a like color system.
Well, I can safely say I've never looked into the eyes of a scallop before.
Well,
Now we've got some scallops, do you think we should go and try them?
It's a good idea.
Fantastic. Let's Great. Do it.
Let's do.
Vasily, show me, what's the right way to eat a scallop?
Well, actually, you can have it, you can enjoy it in different ways.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, since we're here, we just took it out from the sea, so let's have it fresh.
Right then.
Okay, so what we saw with you in the sea, you see these growth rings?
Yep.
So we've got young guys, you know, they are like 3 years old.
Okay.
We take knife, and you see a scallop has a special hole
yes.
for opening it.
Yeah.
And also, I take just a normal knife.
Uh-huh. So I do the same.
Yep. Okay, so I put it inside and I
all the way.
All the way, and here is adductor muscle.
Right.
And we need to cut it.
Uh-huh.
So the shell would open. You just put it on your hand.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, this way.
Yeah.
Yep. And you put the knife trying to slide it under the top shell.
Okay.
Right? And you just put it inside and just cut it. Here we go.
Well, you've done this before many times.
Many times.
Okay, so...
Well done.
I think I've done it.
Very good. Very good. So, again, what we see here, it's a mantle.
Uh-huh.
Actually, on mantle, it's all senses of scallop and mantle, you know. It feels, well, actually, it has eyes.
It looks into the eyes of the scallop.
Exactly. Yeah. And you see, if you touch it, you know, it moves.
Yep.
And so what we do, we just tear it off.
Uh-huh.
One, two,
mm-hmm.
right? So here we see adductor muscle, its stomach. And it's, well, lungs, or how we call it, for scallop, you know, it's braces.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's gonads, but now it's empty.
Right. So
when you come here, like in January or early spring, you know, it will be filled with caviar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's another experience.
Right.
Know? Just please come here in a few months and you will enjoy it.
With pleasure.
So what we do, we just hold the stomach
uh-huh.
and tear it off. And you got the... adductor.
See, this
exactly.
Is...
Just pull it out.
Yeah.
Pull it.
Hang on. Oh, no. Making a mess of this.
No worries. No worries. You have to cut a few thousand of them, and then it goes very smoothly.
Well, you do this competitively as well. So
exactly. Exactly. You know, just five moves, and it's open.
Right.
It's
well, I think I've had a few more than five moves this time.
Yeah, a little bit more.
There we go. Okay. So yours is so much cleaner than mine, Vasily. Oh, there we are. Okay, I think I've done it now. Yeah, how's that looking?
Great. So now we just cut it.
Uh-huh.
And what we do is we put back a mantle.
Okay.
And it's ready to go.
Okay. Do I have to have it with the mantle?
It's up to you. Usually in the supermarket, you just find only a frozen mussel,
yeah.
You know, adductor mussel, you know, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, scallop has three different, parts of body, organs,
that you can
right?
eat.
Which you can eat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they are of different taste and different texture.
Mm-hmm.
And also adductor mussel, mantle, and gonads.
Right.
So
okay, so yeah,
yeah. Just please come here in winter or early spring. At that time, scallop is in the best shape.
I bet. Well, they look pretty delicious now.
Yeah. So I propose just to take some lemon.
Uh-huh.
Some people put soy sauce.
Yeah.
But you know, I think when you put soy sauce, you feel only the taste of soy sauce.
Yeah, of course.
Nothing else.
Yeah, overpowers.
Yeah. But if you drip some lemon, you see it's still alive.
Uh huh. Oh yeah, yours is. Yours is definitely still alive.
Yeah. So we're gonna eat a living creature. If it's okay for you.
First time for everything as well.
Okay, so what you're gonna do? Just do it like
an oyster. Yeah.
Mmm. Tastes super fresh.
Super fresh.
Super tender.
Super
and
fresh.
Tasty. What an experience.
Yeah, it's super fresh, super tender, and it's a super food.
Well, it is a super food. It's good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a buzzword at the moment.
Yeah.
But what makes scallops so good for you to be considered a superfood?
It's, you know, it's pure protein. You know, a scallop just filters seawater.
Yeah.
And develops its body, right? And scallop is a champion of growing. You know, like when we're on the sea, I showed you example of a one-year-old, 2 years old, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the pace of growth is just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, kind of first half a year, 1 gram, 1 year old, 5 grams. 2 years, it's already 150 grams.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a pure protein.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
also a lot of minerals and vitamins, you know, like vitamin D, selen and the other microelements.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm living on a scallop diet for already like 4 years, you know, since my first harvest.
And how do you feel?
I feel great. I feel great, you know.
Yeah.
I'm even here, you know, I have a fresh air, right? I have a lot of physical exercises.
Yeah, of course.
I have a superfood.
So that brings me on to my next question. You lived in London, Minsk, Stockholm, and Moscow. What did you find here, Vasily, in Russia's Far East, apart from the seafood, that you couldn't find anywhere else?
If you look on the map, you will see that Vladivostok is just in the center of economical gravity.
Yeah.
You know, the capitals of the biggest world economies, they are located just within a few hours' flight.
Yeah.
And when I came here, it was everything was new for me. You know, nature, yeah. sea, you know, business culture. So I just love living here because it's a great place, and you see I'm developing this resort just next to the eastern capital of Russia, in the middle of economical gravity of the world.
I can certainly see why you enjoy living here.
What could be better?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for telling me and showing me your scallop farm
here.
It's been absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Cheers.